Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Gatt, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is Thursday, December 4th, 2014, and today we're going to talk about celebrating winter solstice. Now, what does this have to do with toxic chemicals? It has to do with toxics because many, many years ago, when I first became aware of toxic chemicals and how they were making me sick, and I started my recovery from that, one of the things that happened was that I got to Christmas and saw that Christmas was basically a big exchange of toxic products. And it doesn't have to be that, but at the time, 30 years plus ago, when I was first becoming aware of toxic chemicals, that's exactly what it was, and is still today for many families. And I couldn't give or receive toxic Christmas presents. And this started me thinking about the whole idea of commercial, consumer-oriented Christmas and looking for something that had more meaning. And I found winter solstice. Now, if you think that winter solstice is like some strange thing that strange people do, it actually, for me and my guest who's coming up, is something that I think that everyone can celebrate, regardless of what your religion is or your personal beliefs, that it really goes back to having it be a time of reconnecting with nature, making intentions and for what's going to happen in the coming year. And there's a whole tradition behind this that is very human and natural. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And also part of it is that eventually I did end up giving holiday presents again, but I gave presents for winter solstice. And they were natural and toxic-free and in alignment with the whole idea of celebrating nature and our part of it at this time of year. So I'd like to welcome my guest. Her name is Teresa Villegas. She's the author of a very charming little book called How to Celebrate Winter Solstice. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So tell us tell us a little bit about yourself. I actually realized that I didn't put a bio here on the description at toxicfreetalkradio.com. And tell us just a little bit about yourself and then how you came to be interested in celebrating winter solstice.
Okay. Well, in my history, I'm an artist and an illustrator and a designer, and over the last 10 years, ever since having children, I've taken that role on as pretty much my first hat, and then illustrating and designing and painting. While I have my children, of course, you know, anybody who has a family, your career changes, and so mine changes quite a bit. So now my career has been influenced, of course, and inspired by my children. And part of that is getting back to more illustrating children's books. I used to do a long time ago, so now I'm doing it more now after I've had children. I know what they like and what they look for, and I'm realizing there's a need for a different type of book. Anyway, one of the books, this recent book that I've illustrated and published,
Teresa, I need to interrupt you for a second.
Yes.
Could you speak louder or
closer?
Because we're not hearing you very well on this end.
Oh, I'm sorry. And also, we have a bad connection. We have rain for the first time in a long time in Arizona.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
No, you sound better now. You sound better now.
So
thank you.
Yes. So basically, my kids, we celebrate winter solstice. And my kids came home one day from school. And they said, Mom, we're the only family that celebrates winter solstice. Our teachers would like you to come and talk to their class about it. And so I said, sure. So for the last few years, since I've been talking about it to my children's class, I said, I should just illustrate this book because they keep asking again and again. And so the last couple of years, I finally illustrated the book and have it published this year. And winter solstice has played a part in our family for years, and having this book, other families that we've talked to said, well, how do you do that? We'd like to take part of that. And so we just basically told everybody about it, and then I illustrated and published it.
I'm so happy.
Everybody has a little guidebook now.
Yes, I'm so happy you did, because I have been celebrating it since 1987. a long time. And when I first started, there was very little information. I mean, there was a lot of information that was more of a religious nature for religions that practice winter solstice. But I didn't want to practice that religion. What I wanted to do was find what the essence of winter solstice was. And it was like going back in time and saying, well, if I didn't live in this culture, if I lived in a culture where my life was all about living in an ecosystem and living in nature, why would I be celebrating winter solstice? And how would I be celebrating winter solstice?
Right.
So I was trying to go back to the essence of it, not the way it has come forward. And I really found when you sent me your book, I said, oh yeah, she's got it. We agree because you've stripped away all that other stuff that's been attached to it over time and really got back to the same essence that I found in it. And you just have, I think that the way that you've put together your little book, in such a artistic way and such a simple way to understand it really captures the spirit of celebrating a season. Yeah, you've done a really great job. So let's explain, what is a solstice?
Well, the solstice is an actual astronomical event that happens. The sun has reached its furthest point along the elliptical path of the Earth, and so that's why our days are the shortest and our nights are longer. So as everybody knows, in the wintertime in the Northern Hemisphere, our winter times, our nights are darker, and that's why we have so much more light as far as decorations and all that part of the celebration. And so in our family, we celebrate that because it is an actual astronomical event, and this is something that I've celebrated, as you did, in the 80s when I was in college, because of the fact that my friends and I, we wanted to look for something to celebrate as well that wasn't religious, but yet related to the earth, and we appreciate that. And now that I have, and I was celebrating that all along, and now my husband and I celebrated that too, but now that we have the children and our family, we wanted to do something to celebrate the actual events. And my husband is atheist, and I'm Buddhist, and we both come from a Christian culture, but we wanted to do something different for our family. And so therefore, my husband was on board because he said, well, that's an actual event, so that's something that would be really, and it's really a matter of awe and inspiration from our planet Earth and how we celebrate and how we relate to that. And so that's where it all started, when our kids were young and we're forming our own family tradition. And so ever since then, so it's about the sun, about the return of the light, and about our connection with Earth, and about our connection and reaching inside of ourselves, and what do we want? This is the winter. And the Earth is in the winter month, the season of winter, as the animals are hibernating and going into a state of quiet and silence and recollection and thinking about what's happening, has happened in the past year, and at the same time connecting and thinking about what we want coming in the new year, in the coming year, the sense of renewal that we talked about in this season.
I think for people in the past, and particularly, like, one of the things that struck me as I was doing my research in winter solstice is that virtually every culture around the world, if you go back far enough, has a winter celebration that is about the returning of the light. And the reason that this was so important to people, that they had this big celebration about it, is because there were no supermarkets then.
Right.
There were no stores. There was nothing. And so everything that people had then came from their ability to go in their surrounding natural environment, into their ecosystem, and gather materials and food. And during the winter season, lots of places were very barren. And so the winter solstice, they watched for this moment when the days started becoming longer, when it started, got to that point where this is the last darkness, and now the days are going to start getting longer. That meant that food supply was going to come back.
Right.
And that was a very, very, very important thing. We need to go to break, but we're going to talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Teresa Villegas, and she's the author of How to Celebrate Winter Solstice. Her website is heartandmindpress.com, where you can go see her book and buy a copy if you'd like. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and we're talking about celebrating the winter solstice today with my guest, Teresa. Teresa, would you say your last name so we get it right?
Villegas.
Villegas.
The L's are double L's are a Y. I pronounce like a Y. Villegas,
yes. Huh? And she's the author of, I have the page right here. I want to get the title right, too. How to Celebrate Winter Solstice. I wasn't on the right page because I was looking up during the break. I was looking up when exactly is winter solstice. This is a very important thing because if you're going to celebrate an astronomical event, then you need to have the right moment when it's occurring. And that there's actually, it happens at a moment and it's, our calendar doesn't line up with what's happening in the sky. And this was one of the first things that I had to understand when I started understanding nature, was that things that happen in our industrial world are very standardized, but what's happening in nature happens in nature according to nature. And so we celebrate what's called the first day of winter on December 21st. But winter solstice is neither the first day nor December 21st. And the winter solstice marks the middle. It's called, in old cultures, it was called midwinter. And that's the point where the sun turns around. And this year, it happens to fall on December 21st. And I'm looking at a chart here. In my time zone, it happens at, let's see, 19:03. So let's see, that's in 24-hour time. So what is it? So if 12 noon is 12, then how many, 7:03 p.m.? And, but it will happen at a different time in your time zone because it's happening. The sun is doing what it's doing. Is this making any sense at all?
Yes. So it would be 5 o'clock in my time in the mountain time district.
Right. Right. And so, so you can figure it out from there. But here's the thing that I found out, and that is that I was wondering, well, which one is the longest night? Is it the night before, like if it happens at 7:03, which one's the longest night? And in trying to answer that question, what I found out was that the word solstice means sun stands still. And so it's standing still on the horizon where, like Stonehenge, if you're familiar with Stonehenge, it's built around so that the sun will line up to shine between two stones when it rises on the winter solstice. That's part of how they oriented themselves to the year at that time. But the sun actually rises at that point on the horizon more than one day. And I found out that depending where you are on the planet, the longest night can happen, it can be two nights, it could be 16 nights, depending on where you are. And there's a wonderful website. I have to look it up and I'll put it. You can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and look for this show. And I'll put the link to this website there because I've forgotten the name of it, but I'll find it. And it will show you the length of days on any day of the year on any point on the planet. And so you can look up wherever it is that you live and it'll tell you the number of days of solstice. One year, my husband made me a candle holder, like a menorah, where people in the Jewish culture light a candle for every night of Hanukkah. And we made a menorah, like a menorah, and lit a candle for every longest night of winter solstice. And I really liked doing that year.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, because it really... One of my favorite parts of winter solstice traditional celebrations is the Yule log, which actually is about carrying the light through the darkest night.
Right.
And that's why they stay up all night, and that's why they burn the log, and that's why they have a big log, and they decorate it and everything, because because there's this point where this is like the darkest point in the year. And the celebration is for then the people to carry the light of the sun through this darkest point until the sun rises the next morning. And so for us to then say, well, our darkest night is, I think it was 9 days at the time or something. And we lit a candle every night to say, okay, this is the darkest time and we're going to carry the light. And I just think that's such a beautiful thing to do.
Yes, that's a really beautiful part. That's a part in the book that we have. We basically just wrote about how we celebrate it. And part of our celebration is candle lighting. And we do make some years we'll make homemade candles for the celebration.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I love doing that. Well, we're coming up to break again in a couple of minutes, but start to tell us about some of the things that your family does to celebrate, because, and we'll talk more when we come back from the break, because I think that people who aren't familiar with winter solstice think that the celebrations might be very different from Christmas, but in fact, a lot of our Christmas traditions come from winter solstice.
Right. In fact, it was the winter solstice. So we do have all of the same things. So when we celebrate, I think it's more of an attitude that you want to take and more of a metaphorical way that people can look at it who have actually been looking at it through before religions had actually taken it and used the symbols and the imagery and all of the intentions from the winter solstice. From the pagans. This is not in our book. We're not any kind of pagan celebration. We're just using a kind of relationship to our natural earth, honoring the earth and the changes. So the lights do come in with it, with the candles and the lights, and then using that as a representation of our light within. And our kids, of course, when we light the candle, we have one candle and then we have that everybody has that's lit, and then around the table we go. And this lasts like a really short period of time because you have little kids. And so they take a little light from their candle and, a wick or a long, actually it's like a long match that we have that they light from the big candle and then they put on their candle, on their little candle. And then they pass it to the next one. Of course, kids, you know, they like anything with fire.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that they enjoyed. I mean, they enjoy everything. And I asked them this morning. And the other thing is we decorate the tree, so we have a tree, and so we decorate a tree, and we have lights to light up the night and to remind us of our inner light. And we also have decorations, and we make food. We make special food. Every family has a different food that they like to cook.
I want to hear all about this after the break. And I have some things to share, too. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today we're talking about celebrating the winter solstice as an alternative to consumer Christmas, but it doesn't conflict with anything. It's just something that everybody can celebrate and still have your normal traditions that you do. So we'll be right back and give you some more ideas about that. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Teresa Villegas. And she's the author of How to Celebrate Winter Solstice. And it is just, I cannot tell you how charming this book is. And it's just a delight. The illustrations are just stunningly beautiful. And I just want to just share a couple of pages with you here. I'm going to go back to the previous page. Hold on. So here's one of the pages that gives you some suggestions on what you can do on winter solstice. And it has some snowflakes on it and different feet of different family members, and there are different kinds of shoes in different parts of the world, and some very interesting shoes. Anyway, so it says, step outside or take a walk. Experience the longest, darkest night of the year. Feel the crisp air. Hear the quiet sounds of the night. See the light of the moon and the stars. Smell the fragrance of the trees. Taste the falling snow on your tongue. Inhale and breathe the whole experience. Wow, I think that's just beautiful. And then the next page has a beautiful picture of different family members showing the breath. You know how you see your breath when it's so cold, and they all have breath coming out. And the stars spell out silent night. And then there's a little tag on the side that says, Do you know that the word silent has the same letters as listen? And the whole book is like this. And it just is so peaceful. It's a peaceful book. It's like it just feels like you feel on winter solstice. It just, I just think that you just captured that so well.
Thank you. We want to place, well, what I wanted to mention is placing the emphasis on winter solstice as an emphasis on nature and science and personal growth.
I mean, yes.
That's, and the light and the connection that between the earth and us and what's happening at the same time, simultaneously.
Yes.
Looking to our outer world and looking to our inner world.
Exactly. It's like at that time, all of life on the planet is down underground, this bit seeds, it's about seeds, and that we can also go within and be looking at what's going on with ourselves and planting our own seeds of what we want to be creating in the coming year. It just all fits together. That's exactly the celebration. And it's a celebration that people have been doing around the world in many cultures since I don't even know how long. It's just an ancient, ancient thing to do. One thing I wanted to talk about was the Christmas tree or the solstice tree. I call mine a solstice tree. And about the fact that it's an evergreen, and there's a significance of decking the halls. That actually, that song, Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly. La 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 la. That's a solstice song. All the things about, you know, decorating your house with greens, anything that has to do with decorating your house with evergreens, that the significance behind that is that the whole celebration is about carrying life through the barren winter. And so as opposed to a deciduous tree where it just has bare branches, the evergreens carry life through, that they're eternal. And so it just like burning the Yule log through the night, decorating your house with evergreens says, I'm agreeing with carrying life through until the sun comes back again. And I just think that's just such a lovely
thing.
That's
wonderful.
That's and
I didn't know that that song was particularly for winter solstice, though.
It is. It is. It's totally about that. It's about the celebrations really are people at the winter solstice, people come together and they have a festival and they burn fires and they have a feast and they wish each other well. Like, you know, the wassail song, like, here we come a wassailing among the leaves mm-hmm. so green. A wassail is a bowl of punch. That, and the word wassail is the toast. It means have health. And then after the winter solstice party, they would take whatever was left in the punch and they would take it outside the following day and dump it on the apple trees. And it's actually called wassailing the tree because, and they have songs that that people used to sing. These are some of my favorite songs of all times, are the songs that people would sing to the trees to tell them to bear.
Wow.
And so, yes. So there's this huge thing about, and this is just in cultures I saw all over the world. There's this huge thing about at this time of year, people praying or intending or whatever it is that they did.
Right.
Participating in the growth of nature, that they felt it was their responsibility. Like the Aborigines in Australia, they do this thing where they walk around the borders of their land. I forgot there's a name for this, but they walk around the borders of their land on New Year's Day, I think. So it's the same kind of thing. And they sing their land into existence. They
Aww.
Sing it together. The
That's
tribe
beautiful.
Sings their land into existence. And these are the culture, these are the traditions that we're not doing anymore.
Right. In fact, I was speaking with a woman, a couple weeks ago, and she was from the Middle Eastern countries. She said, the pomegranate tree is what we really honor and celebrate quite a bit during this time of year. And I was like, ah, that, because, you know, the pomegranate, of course, is a fruit that has many implications of life because of all the seeds within life and the metaphor.
Right.
With the pomegranate.
And it's about abundance.
All of that. So that was really nice to hear. How I love hearing this, your story, and how everybody celebrates it so differently.
Yes,
and
but
that's
it
what's wonderful about it, because every family can adapt it to what they need.
That's exactly,
you know?
It.
I mean, with Bernard and I, my husband and I were celebrating before we had kids. We didn't need to have so much of the gifts or the tree. I mean, because we just had each other and we'd celebrate. But with the kids, we want to place the emphasis on the tree and nature and getting back in touch with nature. That's why we'd go for a hike. You go for a night walk. We experience the nature in this time of the season, right, and the light and the stars. And something I just heard the other day was that when the Earth, the planet Earth, is on the axle that gives us the seasons, you know, the 23.5 mm-hmm. degree axle tilt that gives us the seasons of our Earth, actually that the top of it points to the star Polaris. So the axial tilt is always pointing to the star Polaris. And
right.
I didn't even know that. Have you heard that before?
Yes, I did. That's the Northern Star.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
it's like that. That's the line. And so that star, that one star, is always in the same place. And if I'm understanding this correctly, and an astronomer can write in and correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm understanding it correctly, it's all the stars in the sky revolve around that point.
Right.
It's
I had
like
heard that, but I never made the connection until I was, you know, actually, you know, working on this book about the tilt and this and that,
yeah,
you know, and,
yeah,
and winter solstice. I'm like, oh my gosh, now it all, you know, comes together.
It all makes sense.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to go to break again. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'm here with Teresa Villegas, author of How to Celebrate Winter Solstice. And we're talking about how to celebrate winter solstice, and we'll be right back. Dad, and my guest today is Teresa Villegas, and she's the author of How to Celebrate Winter Solstice. You can go to her website, which is heartandmindpress.com, and get the book. And it's so charming. I'm looking at another page here where she's talking about staying up late to being together and playing and having fun. And I know I have with my friends stayed up all night, and we sing winter solstice songs, which I've written new words to, and play games and talk about what we're going to do next year, and read winter solstice stories and eat food. And then Teresa, in her book, she says, at the first sign of the morning's light, as the new sun rises in the east, it's time to give and receive gifts. Yeah. And she's got this wonderful drawing of a family, each one snuggled in their sleeping bag, all sleeping in a circle around the solstice tree with the presents underneath and snowflake lights on the tree. And it just, when I looked at this picture, I just thought about the camaraderie of the closeness and the togetherness of a family, and how that same togetherness exists between us and nature if we would just participate in it.
Right.
It
and
just,
we actually do that. We get our sleeping bag out and we all put it around the tree. And that's one of the things I asked my kids about. And I was going to do this interview. I said, you know, every year we were asking, I said, what's your favorite part? If she asked, what's your favorite part? And they said, staying up all night. And when I go to the schools and talk to the schools about this, that's what all the kids say. Oh, I wish we could stay up all night long. But of course, you know, the kids crash pretty early.
Yeah, they do. But it's just the idea that they don't have to go to bed.
Right. I think you're right. You're right. You're right. But it is fun. And it's really fun to talk about the things that happened in the past and what we want to change in the year. And just, we try to turn off all the electronics and then just play games and just play word games and hang out and converse and talk. And
right. And it's a good time to do that. It's a really good time to reconnect with each other on a human level.
Right. But
another point I wanted to make was that for me, it was really important that I create my own celebration. And part of that was not to just repeat what somebody else had created, but to use my own creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And when I thought about that, I thought, well, there was a point in time when people were developing the idea of celebrating winter solstice, and they created a celebration that was about their place and time. And so I wanted to create a celebration that was about me and my relationship to nature in this place and time. And I think that that's part of it, is to really be free to take whatever traditions you want to take and not use any traditions you don't want to take, but it's really about you and your relationship with nature and marking that time when life is starting again. And be able to say, how do I want my life to start again? And I just, can you tell I love this holiday?
I do so, too. And you told me something that we do too. You told me that you would write things down.
Yes. Yes, I do. I do. I write things down all the time, but especially on winter solstice. I mean, it's a really good time to have that quiet time that night when you're staying up all night, to have some quiet time and take stock of your life and say, and envision how you want your life to be different. And if there's something that you're wishing for, like, you know, wanting a new boyfriend or something, then that this is really a time to say, okay, this is what I want, because, you know, what we think about, what we say we want are the things that we get. And if your life isn't going the way you want it to go, this is the time, a really good time to just focus on that and draw pictures or write it down or whatever it is that you do. I'm interested in what you all eat. Just tell us more about, what are your winter solstice foods?
Well, we like to cook a lot in our family, and my husband loves to cook, and he likes to make the family, we have for the sweets, he likes to make the cinnamon rolls for the morning, so all the kids get involved in that. And then also in the evening, we like to have, I guess he spent a lot of time in Europe, and he said that they have a lot of seafood. I guess it was in Italy he spent a lot of seafood.
Oh, yeah. They have a thing where it's like the seven seafoods or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So we kind of did our little Southwestern and made pozole, seafood pozole. So that's a big thing. We use green chili, and then we have shrimp, and we have scallops. And so we make a green seafood pozole. Usually, typically, pozole is made with red chilies and pork, but we used green chilies and seafood.
Wow.
So that was how we adapted it for our family. What about you?
Well, I'm always looking at what are the foods of the season. And so so one thing that I really like to make is fruit cake. And now people are going to roll their eyes and say, oh, that that tough, sugary thing. Well, no, my fruit cake is not like that, because I actually make cake with natural sweeteners and almond flour and things like that. So it's gluten-free, it's sugar-free. And then I take dried fruits, organic dried fruits, instead of those sugary candied fruits.
Right.
And nuts. So it's like a fruit and nut cake. And it's really delicious. And I make it in November, and, you know, I put, you know, brandy and stuff on it, and, you know, the alcohol evaporates, but you still have that whole, it's like this whole ritual of making the cake.
Oh.
You know, that and the approach to winter solstice, and then you eat it, and then I make cookies. I always make some kind of gluten-free cookies with in star shapes. I make a lot of star cookies, and then we just kind of have whatever wintry foods we want to eat that particular night, and over the years I've just developed a lot of naturally sweet recipes of things that we can, you know, that are close to the kinds of things that you might eat at Christmas time, like fudge and cookies and stuff like that. So we have those, but we have them in their natural, healthy state.
Oh, and that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never said that about a, you know, one of those fruit cakes. Oh, that sounds delicious. But yours sounds delicious. I
well,
mean, you're
neither
right.
Would I.
That sticky stuff is just disgusting. That sticky fake fruit, or I guess it's not fake.
It's candied fruit. It's
sugar.
Yeah,
that was too sweet. And
sugar. Yeah,
that.
Yeah. But having mine is very good. It's very, very good. And so it's just you know, I loved hearing about your family cooking together. And so, again, a thing about winter solstice is that it's just, there's an ancient tradition called, it's like a day out of time, I think it's called, where you just, the year, actually, they only had, the year was like 364 days, and the 365th day was out of time. Because that was the winter solstice. It was out of time. And so it's a good day to just say, well, I'm going to take this day off from my normal life and do something like cook a wonderful dinner and spend time with my family and take time for myself. And so for me, that's what winter solstice is about. It's just like I'm not doing my normal life. I'm not going to do it. And it's a day out of time.
Right, that's what makes it nice when you can do something exceptionally different than the way everybody else is doing.
Yes.
That's another reason why winter solstice is just so particular to your family. And
yes,
we do like to go for a hike, and there's one particular hike that we do only on winter solstice. So that's kind of nice, too, out of the ordinary.
Wow, I like that. I love everything you said. Well, so we only have less than 2 minutes left. Is there anything quick you want to say that we haven't talked about?
Just happy winter solstice, however you celebrate the holidays. We're sending love, and have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. You too. I will. And I'm going to put more information on each one of the shows has its own post on the archive blog, and I'll put more information about winter solstice on the page for
this. Maybe one of your recipes.
Oh, I could probably put a recipe, yes.
Yes, so, you're
okay. I'm going to post, we have transcripts now, so there's going to be a transcript within at the beginning of next week, and I'll put a recipe, I'll put a link to the website where you can find out how many days of winter solstice there is. I'll just kind of fill up that page with some
interesting
stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and we'll just have a virtual celebration like that. Again, Teresa's website is heartandmindpress.com, and you can go there. She has a blog. She's got pictures of her family celebrating winter solstice, and you can order her books there. And she also has winter solstice cards that you can send to your friends, and they're very charming. And it's a place that whether you're new to winter solstice, or you've been celebrating winter solstice for a long time, it's just a place where you can go and just find out more about winter solstice, be inspired, and introduce your friends and family to winter solstice with a very lovely book that is not religion-oriented. It's only nature-oriented. So thank you so much, Teresa.
Thank you.
And you have a happy winter solstice. I'm sure you will.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. You can find out more by going to toxicfreetalkradio.com, and have a great holiday season and be well.